Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, if you have been here the last 2 weeks, you will know that we've been looking at our church vision. And today we come to the third part. We've learnt that at Emmanuel, we want to offer an unconditional welcome to those who come into our church. We have a vision for Christ-centred revival. Today, we're talking about the third part of the vision, deep discipleship. Just like the word revival, discipleship's a word that is rarely used outside of conversations about Christianity. However, if we think about a disciple as a dedicated follower of ideas, I think we might be able to say that everyone is a disciple of something. We're all being discipled by what we give our attention to on a regular basis. Let's take our screens as an example. In the modern world, our screens, our phones, our TVs, and what we absorb from them are discipling us or feeding us ideas more than we might realise. The ideas that we consume on our screens shape our opinions, our values, the way we see the world. We wouldn't ever say we're disciples of our screens, but if we're talking about time spent following something with dedication, then we think about how much of our week we spend absorbing the information on our screens, we might pause to reflect. Now, when we become Christians, we call ourselves disciples to mean we're followers of Jesus. Our discipleship, then, describes the way we follow Jesus in our daily lives. It's now the teaching of Jesus that we want to shape our opinions, values, and worldview. But what about this part of our vision? Deep discipleship. How do I go deeper with my discipleship? Does going deeper as a disciple mean I need to study theology or attend every event the church puts on? Well, those aren't bad things in themselves. But actually, I don't think deep discipleship starts with more activity or more facts we can cram into our heads. I believe the key to growing closer to Jesus starts with our attitude. It's the same whether we're brand new to faith or whether we've been believers for many years. I believe we need to be more teachable because it's our attitude, not our knowledge, that gives us the starting point for deeper Christian discipleship. We're going to look today at three ways that we can become more teachable. You can see them on our first slide. We want to be interested in what is taught. We want to be humble before God's word. And we want to be committed to transformational change. So thinking about the Bible passage that Sylvina read so beautifully, let's use these three headings to help us. And first, let's look at being interested in what is taught. That's the second slide, Esther. The Bible can be a hard book to understand. I don't know if you've found that. I certainly have. So hearing it explained is vital, but it's how we listen that makes the difference. As we come to this part of Acts today, chapter 17, you might want to have your Bibles open. We join Paul and his friends on one of his great missionary journeys across Europe. The first part of the reading, starting at verse 10, sees him arriving at Berea, an area in modern-day northern Greece. Soon, it becomes too dangerous for him to stay there because of what he's saying. So his friends, Silas and Timothy, whisk him south to Athens. Now, in both these places, Berea and Athens, there's great interest about Paul and his teaching. Let's look at it a bit more closely. In verse 11, we read that the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those Paul had left behind in Thessalonica. How do we know this? Well, Luke, the writer of Acts, goes on, they received Paul's message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul had said was true. In other words, they showed great interest in what he taught. They continued to look into it once he'd stopped talking. In fact, it's out of this very active interest that we come to verse 12. Many of them believed. When he came to Athens, Paul stepped into a renowned centre of learning and intellect. Whilst it was no longer in its golden age of influence, Athens was nevertheless still a place where those with something to say found a place to say it. We're told in verse 21 that all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. A lot of talk. Seizing on Paul's radical new teaching, the listeners take him to the Areopagus, where he's invited to explain what he believes. This is a place where you air your ideas. Whilst they were certainly a more cynical group than the Bereans, we hear things like some of them sneered at the teaching, others said, verse 32, we want to hear you again on this subject. Now, of course, in these discussions, Paul is talking with non-believers, and you might be asking, well, what's that got to do with us if we're Christians? But I think that this passage shows us it's only from a place of interest that our faith has the chance to take root. When we meet together to learn, what we hear will have a deeper impact if we see it as something that's helping us grow. Once we're Christians, it's the teaching we hear on Sundays that help us to grow in faith. And it's being interested in that teaching that means we'll retain it more deeply. Of course, interest alone is not what leads to deep faith. It's our hearts that help that interest to move on from curiosity and take root in faith. But if we're passive in our faith, going through the motions without an intentional search for more of God or what he wants to say to us, we won't thrive as disciples. In fact, our faith might shrivel. If Christian teaching is low on our priority list, it's highly likely that other ideas will crowd in, pushing our identity in Christ to the side. So the Athenians were interested in Paul as the latest in a long row of philosophers. There's something less intentional and more cerebral about their curiosity than that of the more single-minded Bereans. Similarly, we can be interested in what's taught about God at a surface level, but fail to allow it to have any discernible impact in our hearts. Jeremiah, in another part of the Bible, says, we'll find God when we seek him with all our heart. If growing closer to God is our goal, we'll find him and our relationship with him will grow deeper. In order to do that, our interest needs to have a single-minded purpose. Let me urge you today not to let passivity or cynicism hold you back from an active interest in what is taught about God in our church. I'm not asking you to sit there and agree with everything that's taught unquestioningly. Let's look for ways in which we can dig deeper into what our questions mean and how we can reconcile our niggling doubts with our faith. Please come and talk with us after we've preached. We'd love to talk things through with you. But let's also ensure we don't spend our time thoughtlessly letting information happen to us. Instead, let's press into our understanding of what we're taught so that it takes root and we become mature in our faith, not being tossed about by the latest teaching. So as I go through, I'm going to suggest after each section two ways that you might like to think about to take this deeper. So two of the ways that we might become more interested in what we're taught are read Sunday's Bible passage in advance of coming to church. Did you know that it's always announced in advance on the Friday comms? If you read it before you come, you'll be better prepared to hear what's being taught from the front. And secondly, join a home group. Our Emmanuel home groups are places to both meet friends, but more importantly, to grow deeper in our faith. We grow in our understanding of the Bible and what's been said on Sunday by talking with other believers. Our home groups look at what we've heard in church on Sunday mornings so that we can understand it better. Talk to me if you'd like to know more about joining a home group. Secondly, being teachable means being humble before God's word. I wonder if sometimes our discipleship starts in the wrong place. Maybe we approach God with what we can get out of him rather than how much he's given us. It's in his address to the cynical Athenians that Paul shows the need for humility. We see that in verse 22 onwards. Rather than attacking their pride, he shows that he's observed where they are in their search for answers, and he begins to talk to them from there. For example, he's seen on an altar this inscription, "To an unknown God." That phrase underlies the entire Athenian mindset. They're looking for God, but they're doing it on their terms. He teaches in verse 24, the God he is preaching about is the one who created the world. It's not actually up to us, says Paul, as his creatures, to try to contain him or create him. And he teaches in verse 27, this is a God who's made himself known. This isn't an unknown God. It's not enough to be curious about God. When we recognize the truth, Paul says, come to him with a new heart. Faith starts with recognizing who God is and who we are in the light of that. Paul's message here essentially is the gospel. It's only by God's grace that we're able to approach God at all. And it's only because of Jesus that we're able to call God Father. This is the good news we have as believers. And this is true whether today is the first time you've heard this good news or if you've known it for many years. We thank God for the gospel, don't we? Yes, we do. We thank God for the gospel. If we're Christians, we know the gospel, Paul explains here. It's what's led us to salvation. But there's a danger of familiarity in our discipleship. We can easily slip into assuming we've earned the right to the gospel through the things we've done or the habits we keep. Maybe we feel a bit as if, actually, God owes me this. Why doesn't God answer that prayer? He owes me big time for this. Actually, the Bible repeatedly warns against this pride. And Paul reminds us here, or reminds the Athenians in verse 25, God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Our pride can also make us forget the Bible doesn't only talk of a God of love, but also a God of justice. As Paul teaches in verse 31, he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he's appointed, that is, through Jesus. So how do we approach this God who's made himself known? We can only stand before our Creator, God, because of grace. But it's also because of grace that we stand in confidence before his justice. But here's my point. Humility is where it starts. When Christians talk about this word humility, we don't mean shame, low self-esteem, crawling along. Humility puts God in his right place so that everything else comes together. And we do this by learning about him in his word. Being teachable means we're humble when we read God's word. and when we think about what it says. If we aren't, pride will block our discipleship from growing deeper. Here are two suggestions in how we might approach God's word humbly. Firstly, when you read your Bible, pause to pray before you do so, asking God to remove a sense of pride or self-sufficiency so that you can hear him speak. James writes, "Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." This is what the Bereans did in verse 12. Secondly, if you feel like you're underwhelmed by the good news of the gospel, spend time with people who love the Lord passionately. I call them contagious Christians. Get some contagious Christians in your life. It's one of the best ways we can rediscover our own passion for God. It's also one of the best ways to rediscover perspective about how great God is and remember what he's done for us so that our hearts become thankful. Finally, being teachable means being committed to transformational change. We listen to what is taught in church as part of a community of disciples. But what happens in our personal lives means that our minds are bathed in scripture through the week and our focus remains sharp. Back to our faithful Bereans at the start of a passage, we can see how committed they were. Not only did they show active interest and receptive humility, but they were also 100% committed to finding out more. Verse 11 says, the Bereans examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. But it wasn't just a commitment that ended with more knowledge. Oh yes, he's true. This commitment is what led to a subsequent belief, that is, transformational heart change. Maybe you feel like someone who's part-time in your discipleship. You make it to church on Sundays, but the rest of the week doesn't really have much time for faith. You believe the stories in the Bible about change, but you don't really experience it for yourself. Maybe it's all a bit of a plod. Let's look again at verse 11. What did they do? They examined the scriptures every day. It's through committing ourselves to regularly reading the Bible that transformational change comes about as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. We saw this commitment in last week's sermon that John brought us on Josiah. When he had read and taken to heart the book of the law, there is a wholehearted commitment behind his actions, leading to transformational change both for him and the people that he led. We see it all through Scripture. As people hear the word of God and accept its teaching, they change. This still happens today. I'm studying alongside someone brilliant called Harrison, who became a Christian when he found a dusty Bible under his bed one day. He picked it up, a little bit bored, opened it at the Gospel of Matthew, and started to read it. He got through the genealogy and he kept going, and he didn't stop. And he said, by the end of that day, I knew it was true. When he committed his life to Jesus, he radically changed from someone who took drugs, partied, drank, to someone who now loves to tell young people about Jesus. Harrison's only 25, but he's honestly an amazing witness to the power of reading God's word. Our desire as a ministry team at Emmanuel is for each person here to be transformed in the same way because of their commitment to what God's word says. It's our longing that each of us grows deeper in our discipleship out of a commitment to reading the scriptures and listening to what our God wants to say to us through them. Here are my two suggestions for this section. Sometimes I think we listen to podcasts or we read books about God more than we actually read the Bible. If you don't already do so, put a Bible reading plan in place so that you can begin to read a little of the Bible each day with the help of notes or a plan on your phone. There are many options to help you do this. Please do come and speak to me or John if you'd like some ideas. Secondly, why don't you ask a Christian friend if they'll partner with you in reading the Bible every day? I do that. Every day I read with a friend and we talk to each other on our phones about what we've read, sharpening each other. Talk on Sundays even about what you've learned about God and about yourself. We're disciples. This is a whole life transformation that has taken place with Jesus. Let's put it more intentionally into place in what we talk about with each other. If this is all new to you and you've never read the Bible before and you'd like to start doing so, please do come and speak to me or Dima afterwards. We've got a new Bible reading group that we're starting next Sunday and we'd love you to be there. It's for people who don't know anything. So let's grow deeper in our discipleship by becoming more teachable. Let me pray. Father, as a church, we have a commitment that our vision, what we're aiming for, is to grow deeper in our discipleship. We want it to be you that shapes our ideas. We want to be humble as we read your word, recognizing what a privilege it is for us to have it in our hands. We want to be committed to transformational change, bringing the parts of our lives which we struggle with, the problems, the doubts, the pain, everything to you and seeing you at work. And Lord, we want to become interested so that this is our primary focus, and so that our relationship with you changes us from the inside out. So Lord, teach us, we pray, and help us to learn. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.